Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy night.
To infinity and beyond!
I just love finding new places to wear diamonds.
I could have been a contender. I could have been somebody.
There's no place like home.
Life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
Bill Hughes, television producer at Mind the Gap Films. Good morning to you, Bill.
Good morning, Jonathan. How are you?
I'm good. I love when you bring something that I don't know the story of. And this film is one that falls into that category. Let's have a listen to a clip to kick it all off.
Oh, there you are, my dear. I did not see you. Give me a glass of the champagne that I see over there. Oh, good boss, dear.
My dear, might I present Miss Elsie Marina?
Oh, yes, my dear. Of course. I remember you well.
Oh, I'm quite sure you don't, Your Royal. Oh, I mean, Your Imperial, Your Serene Majesty.
What does she say?
She says she is deeply flattered and compliments you on your wonderful memory.
Thank you, my dear. Sweetly flattered. She should use more mascara. When one is young, one should use a lot of mascara. And when one is old, one should use much more. What do you do, my dear?
I'm in the Coconut Girl at the Avenue.
Yeah?
She says she is an actress.
An actress? That is very interesting. Madame Sarah Bernhardt has acted for us, you know. Personally, I do not find her so good in Magda as Mademoiselle Duse. You agree? No?
No?
You do not agree? That is very interesting. You know Lucien Guitry, too?
No, ma'am.
Only Madame Bernhardt. Well, you are quite right to be loyal to your friends, my dear. Loyalty is a quality that we do not see enough nowadays. Très bien.
Now, that's a scene from Laurence Olivier's rather wonderful The Prince and the Showgirl, 1957. The poster, Bill, you'd never get away with in the modern era, I think it's fair to say. But you'll understand a lot of people won't have seen this film because it's from the 50s. But at the time, could you have gotten two bigger stars?
Well, it was quite a phenomenal one. What I love about this film is that it shows Marilyn Monroe in her most wonderful, comic, natural kind of performance. And you really get to see the woman, hear the woman. You understand why she was the star she was. And what's unusual about this film is that it's the first film produced by Marilyn Monroe's own company, Marilyn Monroe Productions. And she had seen the play, The Sleeping Prince, which was starring Laurence Olivier and Vivian Leigh, his wife at the time. And she loved it, a play by Terence Rattigan. And she decided to option the film rights. So when she did, she discovered that Olivier already had it written into his contract that if the film rights were optioned, that he would be the director. So it came with him attached, which wasn't ideal for Monroe, but she went along with it. And then Monroe wasn't ideal for Olivier because he wasn't thinking. He wanted the part played by Vivian Leigh, but at the time, Vivian Leigh was already mid-40s and was too old for the role. And it's just a very, it's a delicious film. And you just heard Dame Sybil Thorndike there in all her campery. She has some of the best lines in the film. The film is basically a farce. The Prince Regent of Carpathia is in London for the coronation of King George V and Queen Mary, and it's set in 1911. And Britain are trying to keep in the good books of Carpathia because of threats being posed by Kaiser Wilhelm in Germany. So the whole thing is, let's keep the regent happy, played by Laurence Olivier. He's only watching the throne because young Nicholas, who's only 16, is going to take it over as soon as he becomes 18. And that is Laurence Olivier's son. So Olivier is the prince regent. Anyway, Olivier's wife has died. He's a widower. And he's a randy widower. So every city he goes to the local music hall to find a woman to entertain him for the night. And he's got...
As you do, if you're a randy widower, what else would you be doing with your time, I'd ask?
And he was friends with Maisie Springfield, who was this actress in London. And she had a production on called The Coconut Girl, starring young Elsie Marina, played by Marilyn Monroe. So he invites Marilyn Monroe back to the embassy for a late supper, for a party. Marilyn Monroe realizes early on this is a party for two. This is not a supper party. And that if it's a dinner for two, I'm dessert. So she decides, right, I've got to play this a bit better. So there's champagne and there's wine and there's all sorts of stuff laid out. He is impossibly rude because he's still dealing with affairs of state. So she starts drinking. And as she drinks, she gets a bit tipsy. And as she gets tipsy, her dander comes up and she confronts him and says, you know, you're a, she basically calls him out for being a randy old goat. And he is charmed by this because she has completely burst his bubble of pomposity. But anyway, by this stage, she's had too much to drink. So he puts her in another room to sleep it off for the night. And then yes, she'll be gone. But she wakes up in the morning and it's the morning of the coronation and she's still in the embassy. And at this stage, she has overheard conversations. She has overheard plots and plans. So she, this supposedly ditzy showgirl, reveals herself to be a fluent German speaker. She understands what the intrigues are and she threatens to out everybody. And the whole thing is just, it's people going in one door and out another, and she's in the same dress because she has slept overnight, and so she's in this white dress. Now, what's peculiar about the white dress is that during the shooting, Marilyn Monroe was pregnant. She, at the time, she was married to Arthur Miller, and so she was very, very ill. She had all sorts of fluid retention. So they had to have four different sizes of the dress, depending right on the day, because her body was fluctuating so much.
Okay, God love it. So there was a challenging time for her personally. Well, I want to get to my favourite part of this story, which is the tension on set. But before we do that, let's listen to another clip. This is where Marilyn's character overhears the conniving Nicholas and the plan to overthrow his father and confronts him.
Thank you so much, Miss Mariner. That was most kind.
Think nothing of it, Your Majesty.
You are going to the coronation?
Oh, I'll say.
You must come to mine.
Really? When is that?
16-18 months.
Not sooner than that?
Sooner, Miss Mariner?
Yes. I speak German. I was born in Milwaukee. You're going to turn your father out on August 15th and make yourself a real king. The Bulgarian army's going down to help you.
It is most unfortunate that you should have heard that. It might prove exceedingly dangerous for you.
Dangerous? Oh, don't give me that. I'm an American citizen. Nobody can do anything to me. Besides, who cares about your old Balkan revolutions? You have them all the time, anyway.
You are going to tell Father, of course.
Depends if I get the chance.
I mean, I believe in Dublin, Bill, they say that's Cah Rapid, which yeah, is effectively what had happened there. My favourite part, though, was that Monroe and Olivier, an unfortunate marriage in film terms, they did not get on. And it must have been absolutely toxic on set.
Well, he was directing as well as producing, but it was for her production company. So she held the ultimate dollar. However, she was late every day. She was late for every scene. She wasn't always showering. She wasn't looking after her personal hygiene. She was still wearing the same dress. It just became incredibly difficult. And so he was forcing her to, because she was forgetting her lines and fluffing her lines. And he, as the director, he was forcing her to do retake after retake. So her co-stars were getting incredibly frustrated. And in fact, one of them turned to the bottle because it was so difficult on set. The tension was getting out of control. And in fact, there's a whole movie made about that called My Week with Marilyn, starring Eddie Redmayne as this young fella supposed to be working on the film and Michelle Williams as Marilyn Monroe. So that's a side on. We did that a couple of years ago on this slot, My Week with Marilyn, worth checking out. But this is the film that was all happening on. So the next thing, Marilyn suffered a miscarriage during the filming. She brought her drama coach with her, Paula Strasberg. Paula Strasberg had to be referred to before any take happened. Monroe would run her line by Strasberg, not by Olivier. And so Olivier banned Strasberg from the set. Marilyn Monroe said, I'm not going back on the set until Strasberg is reinstated. So Olivier had to climb down and give in. And the whole thing, it just descended into farce. It was deeply unhappy film. None of that comes across when you watch the film. The film is just an absolute, it's a souffle. It is a delight. It is light as air, but it's fun to watch Marilyn Monroe and to watch her power. She's just, she captivates. She steals every scene. She robs the camera. You know, it's just there.
Well,
it's just there.
Bill, as you know, a souffle is very hard to make. And by the sounds of it, a souffle is a very good description of this film, both on and off what we saw on screen. The Prince and the Showgirl at 1957. Well worth checking out. Bill Hughes, television producer at Mind the Gap Films. As always, thanks so much for joining us, Pat. We'll talk to you again next week.